Shrinkage is a natural part of aging, and if you don't know that in advance, the worst part about it is that one day you may look up and notice that your stiff isn't quite as stiff as you'd like for it to be. So let's talk today about loss prevention. I'm Dr. Rachel, and this is Give Me an E! The show that helps you get hard so that you can breathe easy. Food, supplements, exercises, the latest and greatest technology. If it helps you get up, I'm going to talk about it. It's about elevating your manhood. It's about electrifying your sex life.
It's alive!
One letter, one voice, shout it out. Give me an E!
This process of aging happens whether we like it or not. But there are some ways that we can kind of biohack and kind of minimize some of the issues when it comes to aging. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to tell you the five things that you have to do to keep your stiff stiff. And these are all natural solutions, because when I first started out as a really young doctor, you know, I was kind of on this mission to figure out why so many men were developing issues with their erections, you know? And at first I thought it was all about monogamy, you know? Okay, so committed to the same person. After a while, it gets old, like our favorite restaurant. Is that what it is? So first, I thought that was it. So, well, you know, that's part of it in a lot of situations, but it's certainly not all of it. Then I thought it was all about the testosterone. But what I realized about testosterone very quickly is that even though you think that the minute you start it, you're going to have these amazing erections and sex drive is going to come back, it really most of the time doesn't work like that. And then I thought, okay, so that's not it either. So the why has always been really important to me, because the solution is always in the why. How can you biohack this aging process and stay stiff into the golden years? The first thing that you want to do is you want to think about free radicals. Free radicals is a basic part of aging and living. Is as we're sitting here talking, and as I've got my Wi-Fi and my 5G and this computer in front of me, free radicals are all around us. And what free radicals do is they actually damage cells. So when you hear me talk about antioxidants, and when you hear me talk about decreasing inflammation, really what we're talking about is this need to fight free radicals. And so in order to beat free radicals, we really need to consume over 11,000 antioxidant units a day. That's a lot of antioxidant units, right? Because if you think about it, we all know people like this, and you may be one, and hopefully this is not where you're going to continue to stay, but the person who eats really no vegetables throughout the day, isn't really eating much fruit, isn't taking any nutraceuticals or vitamins, and really has some meat, maybe has some potatoes, maybe has a little water, and maybe has a sandwich, you know, and that's the day. Or maybe some eggs, right? So when we think about antioxidants and fighting free radicals, what we know and what science tells us is that we need anywhere from 8,000 to 11,000 antioxidant units daily. Now, this is ultimately why I came up with the smoothie recipes. Yes, because what we do is we combine and make it so that you get your antioxidants in your smoothie. Because if you think about it, you may have some kids, or it may be you, that just vegetables, fruit, nuts, you know, you think about it every now and then, but it may not be an integrated part of your life. Well, what happens when you have E-Function smoothies, or just smoothies in general, is you can pile all of the nutrients in there so that you don't have to even think about it past that point, right? And so that's one thing you have to do. The next thing you have to do is exercise your stiff. You have to exercise. Now, we can talk about Kegel exercises, and Kegel exercises are an important part of it, you know, because you want your pelvic floor to be strong enough to actually keep and contract and keep the blood flow in there. But if you can't get the blood flow in there in the first place because the tissue has atrophied or gotten a little bit necrotic, then you're not really benefiting anything. So if you think about it this way, if we never exercised our arm, say we never exercised our left arm, we did everything with the right, well, the left is going to go limp. And the same can be said for erections. So when you're 20, your erections naturally exercise themselves. At night, while you're getting good rest, they are going up and down. They're doing what we call dick-ups, right? All night long. So as you get older, as time goes by, you have to specifically exercise your stiff. So in ancient traditions, most cultures did some form of jelking to keep the pharaoh and the king and the healthy enough so that he could service all of his harems, right? So they would do jelking, which is basically kind of a nice stretching, pulling exercise that pulls the blood to the head of the erection or the penis, right? And so it's kind of exercising and rejuvenating and reminding your erection of what it's supposed to do. Now, in modern days, we can do jelking, we can massage, but we can also pump. And for those of you who follow me and who have been patients or consults of mine know that I am a huge proponent of pumping. Now, if you have sickle cell or a bleeding disorder, or if you're even taking blood thinners, you definitely have to have this conversation with your doctor first. But pumping, getting a really good quality pump so that you can actually remind your erections of what they're supposed to be doing, improve blood flow, increase growth factors, it is an integral part of aging gracefully. Right. And so when I talk about pumping, I'm not saying go pump up right before sex. It may get to the point where you do need to do that. But what I'm saying is use your pump strategically to rehabilitate and rejuvenate the tissue so that blood can actually flow to the areas that it needs to go to. Right. Then the next thing, you got to connect with real people. If you find yourself flipping through, watching porn, looking at videos, and really the majority of your sexual energy is not spent with a real person, it's spent with your hand, it's spent with the screen, it's spent with your phone, that is going to deplete your ability to get an erection in real life, right? There really is something called porn-induced erectile dysfunction. So instead of focusing on, you know, let me test it and see if it's going to work, and you're sitting there looking at into the camera, the problem with that is it doesn't reflect real life. So we can use that a little bit strategically to kind of keep blood flow going and things like that. And every now and then when you're in a pinch, but it's definitely not something that you want to get into the habit of doing all the time, because then when the beautiful moment presents itself for you to be with somebody, then you're not prepared because you have trained your brain and your body really to just respond more to your hand and your screen than anyone else. So I need you to connect with real people. The next thing is you got to increase circulation throughout your body, right? If there's no blood flowing anywhere, you know, rapidly, then of course it's not going to flow there, because here's the thing. Our body is doing what's best for us, right? It's going to protect us. So it's saying we got to move blood flow to the most important areas, right? So right after we eat, it's going to the gut, wants to help with digestion. You know, all of these things. So the blood flow is saying, if there's not enough blood flow around, let's just take care of the most vital organs, right? So they're going to focus on the kidneys. They're going to focus on the heart. They're going to focus on the brain. And they're really not going to focus much on the genital, because they're like, you know what? That's not high up on the totem pole. So increase circulation throughout your body by moving around, getting up, oscillating, going, swinging your arms, tapping your body. You know, when you're sitting at your desk all day, you are decreasing circulation to every part of you. And surely your erection's not going to say, well, let's take some of this blood flow that the heart needs. No, it just doesn't work like that. So we got to increase circulation throughout the body. Now, number five. This ties into the circulation. You have to consistently drink fluids. So let's talk a little bit about whiskey dick. Why after you have a drink or you have a couple glasses of wine, sometimes why do things not go the way we want it to? Sometimes it helps, right? Kind of gets you friskier, makes you feel a little bit more sexual. But a lot of times, as time goes by, it causes a big old flop. And the flop is because you get a little dehydrated. When you drink alcohol, It basically dehydrates you and puts your body into this state of, okay, we're dehydrated. So what are we going to do? We're going to shunt blood flow to the important areas that we need to stay alive, not the unimportant places that we need just to get us some, right? So if you stay hydrated, then your body can actually make rational decisions and say, okay, well, the heart's taken care of, the kidneys are taken care of, let's take care of the D too, and let's send some blood flow down there. So if you're dehydrated and not getting enough fluids, well, you notice everything comes out little, the consistency is a little sludgy, you know, you're tired, you're not getting erections the way that you want to. So drink fluids consistently, not just every now and then, not just when you exercise, but all day long. You should be sipping on fluids to kind of keep the blood volume there, because when the blood volume decreases, there's less blood to go where we need it to go. So it's surely not going to pick there as a priority. Okay. So people ask me all the time, Dr. Rachel, why Give Me an E? Why do you do this work? And my journey in this space of Give Me an E, not only as a professional helping men with erectile issues and men's health issues, but also in the space of my own dad. You know, it wasn't until kind of later in life where he actually shared with me some of his struggles. And I just always felt like if he'd have had access to this type of information when he was going through it, things might have been different. So if you're enjoying Give Me an E, if you've gotten something out of the podcast, share it with someone that you think might benefit from it as well. All right? Okay, well, let's get back to Give Me an E. So I always like to think of you as part of my family and community. And what do we do in a community? We share. So let me share what one of you wrote in about this journey. Charles writes in, I was not aware of all of these negative effects of too much L-arginine. I have tried to follow your instructions, lowering my hemoglobin A1C, keto, exercise, pumping. I haven't done the smoothies yet. I cannot thank you enough, Doc. Joe Ryan writes, I saw this several weeks ago and now coming back to report, it works. Taking the oil cold press 2 tablespoons a day and I see a big improvement, and I've tried all those supplements out there for prostate issue with mixed results. Thank you, Dr. Rachel. That was from my suggestion of cold pressed pumpkin seed oil. Thank you for sharing. I want you to share. I want to know your journey. So reach out. The details are in the show notes. Next thing I want to talk about is Brad. Brad sent this question, and Brad, you've sent this question twice, and I'm glad we finally have the opportunity to work on it, okay? So first of all, Brad, I want to thank you for reaching out. Thank you for trusting me and the information that we get here. And thank you for being honest and sharing this, because your story is going to help the next gen. So he says, Dr. Rachel, I first of all want to thank you for the posts that are very informative and the live chats that you do. I get to the point, since I know you are a very busy woman, I'm 58 years old, a cancer survivor, hallelujah, with type 2 diabetes. Now, and another reason, Brad, I want to talk about your question is there are plenty of other men going through the same thing. You've survived cancer, you've had chemotherapy, maybe even radiation, you have diabetes, and you're wondering some of these exact same questions. He's been married to the same woman for 35 years now. Wonderful woman. I love when you put that. That just does something to me, because it lets me know you have this beautiful person on your side who is supportive too. I've tried the maximum prescription for Cialis and Viagra with no results. So let's talk about that a little bit. When Viagra and Cialis get to the point where they're not working, we have to start wondering, are we having a blood flow issue here? So this is a point where a good ultrasound by a trained urologist might be helpful. But then also we're thinking, are you making enough nitric oxide? And then we're also thinking about, has the tissue become damaged or atrophied because of what's happening here, because of the chemotherapy, because of the diabetes, because of all of that. He says, I've tried everything that you talk about, but I still cannot achieve an erection. He tried the five supplements. I know since I was on a clinical trial for the melanoma and the chemo, I have lost all sex drive. So chemotherapy, typically, after chemotherapy, whether it's a lady or a gent, typically we have some sex drive issues afterwards. And it's a number of things. One, you were scared that you weren't going to make it, so that really suppresses the drive for sex. But two, your body, remember, the body preferentially focuses on the survival parts. Right. So sometimes our body doesn't think of our genitals as being necessary for survival. So it's shunting blood to all of these other areas and it's focusing its energy and healing on the area that it needs to focus on. And sometimes the genitals get ignored. So that's why it becomes important for you not to ignore your genitals. Right. And he also says he knows that his testosterone may have decreased. But ever since it's been 8 years and since his last treatment and his sex drive has not returned. So when he and his wife try to have sex, which is about every couple months or so, he's full of anxiety and can't do anything. So he's basically asking for a little bit of guidance as to where to go with this. So I wanted to kind of talk to you a little bit about after chemotherapy. And even if you haven't been through chemotherapy, whether it is a chronic illness or whether your big issue is just that your erections aren't working, this process that we're going to go through is going to be extremely helpful for you either way, right? So after chemotherapy, there are a couple things that I want you to make sure that you take into consideration. After chemotherapy, after an extremely stressful event, after you've lost somebody, after anything has come and basically wiped you out, right? Because that's what's happening. Chemotherapy, your body's fighting so hard, it's kind of depleted and wiped out. So what's next? Somebody passes away, it's the same thing. Somebody close to you, you wiped out. So what can we do to get back in the game and set things back on track to the way that things are going, right? And David, this is for you too. After your accident, ED started, what do you need to try? This is perfect for you too. Because after an extremely stressful event, whether it is physical or mental or something has happened or you've been exposed to something, these are the steps that I want you to make sure that you take. Now's the time, you know, because you'll go get your labs and your doctor will tell you the basics and say everything looks pretty good. So besides checking your testosterone and your thyroid and really asking your doctor to maximize those and optimize them, you need to get some functional lab tests. And what functional lab tests do is they look at the micro and the macronutrients in your body. They can help you understand what is depleted in your body and what nutrients and nutraceuticals and supplements do you need specific to you to get things back on track. Right? Because we can throw a whole bunch of nutrients at everybody and it's a shotgun approach. But when you're tailoring it specifically to you, now you know, do you need more B vitamins? Do you need more omega-3 fatty acids? Do you need more magnesium? Do you need more vitamin D? Do you need more ashwagandha even? So really what's happening when you're grabbing from this ad that you see and then you're taking some of the nutrients that I'm talking about and you're doing this and you're swirling it up, you're doing a shotgun approach. You're like, well, shit, I don't know what's happening, so I'm just going to throw it all out there. But if you start to get some functional lab testing, and you can Google it because a lot of these tests you can do at home, or you can go to a functional medicine provider that's like myself, or even sometimes primary care providers will run these labs for you, order them for you. They look at your blood on a cellular level and tell you what's missing, what do we need to do, and some of them will even look at your genetic SNPs, S-N-P, and tell you what you're predisposed to so that you can figure out and fill in the pathways that way. So I think it's really important after an accident, after something extremely traumatic, after a huge loss of some sort that stressed you out to the maximum, or something like chemotherapy, that you do some functional lab testing so that you can customize your treatment specifically for you, right? Then the next thing I want you to make sure that you got to address the gut bacteria and your mitochondria. So why are these things so important? In our gut, is what we call like a microflora. It's on our skin. Bacteria is everywhere. And when you go through a major illness, whether it's chemotherapy, whether it's a major accident, we give medications. We give medications because we want your body to fight off whatever's wrong, right? But unfortunately, in the process of chemo and of keeping people healthy in the Western traditional way, the gut bacteria actually gets wiped out, the good stuff. And one thing we know, and you're going to start to hear more and more about it, is that that gut bacteria is important for every aspect of your health, your erections included, right? It's important for your memory, your thought process. It is important to so many different things that when we travel, when we're about to get on an airplane, one of the big things I do, sure, we give a little vitamin C and zinc. But the big thing that I do is make sure that everybody's been on probiotics for about a week or so. That's how important gut bacteria is for our immune system. It's important for blood flow. It's important for everything. And then the other part is chemotherapy damages your mitochondria, and so do extremely stressful events. Now, what in the heck is mitochondria? Well, mitochondria, I want you to think of it like this. If you have a car and you've got this beautiful, fancy, antique Jaguar, and it is sitting in your driveway, it's beautiful. I'm picking that because that's my favorite antique car, is a Jaguar, right? And it's beautiful. And you go and you get into it and you put the key in it and you start the engine and nothing happens. And then you look underneath the hood and there's no engine in there. Mitochondria to the cell and to your body is the engine. And what happens with car accidents, chronic illnesses, and particularly chemotherapy, is it starts to damage the mitochondria. So then what we need to do is start to support the mitochondria so that these powerhouses of our cells can start back functioning the way that they need to. So Google mitochondria support. This is how you spell it, mitochondria. There's some great supplements that's put together. There's one called MitoCore. There's great supplements that are put together to help support mitochondria. I use mitochondria support in people who are having really hard times getting over long COVID. We use mitochondria support in people who've had significant events like chemotherapy and major car accidents to try to help this process. Because if you want nerve regeneration and the nerves to be healthier and strong, not only do you need the B vitamins, but you really need your mitochondria to be strong. And then you have to address the atrophy of the penis, right? So anytime you're going through chemotherapy, anytime you've had a major car accident, anything like that, what's happened is we're having a reduction of nutrients being delivered to the penis, right? So all of those nutrients that normally would be going there, remember, the body's like, forget that. Let's keep the rest of the body alive. So it starts to kind of deplete the nutrients that would be going there. So what do we do to improve the quality of the penile tissue to combat atrophy? We use a pump. You've got to use a pump. You've got to start rehabilitating the tissue. The Vaxate is a great place to start because it uses warm water along with vacuum suction to help with the process. Then, too, you may consider that you may need PRP injections into the tissue to help heal the tissue and bring the tissue back to life, and or wave therapy or shockwave therapy or acoustic wave therapy to penetrate through the tissues and help regrow and regenerate blood vessels. But it has to be a full court press because it can't just be about the tissue and not about the nutrients and the mitochondria. It can't just be about one of these things. It really does have to be about all of these. So Brad, although you took the five supplements that I talk about, first of all, let's figure out which ones do you need more of, less of, or none of, right? So do the functional lab testing. Then you take the next step and say, okay, am I getting nighttime erections? Am I getting morning wood? How long has this been happening? And for you, you haven't been able to get an erection for 8 years. So that's 8 years in which your penile tissue didn't really get any blood flow, right? Because every time you get an erection, whether it's natural or whether it's vacuum induced, that blood flow courses through and provides nutrients to that tissue. So the tissue is actually starting to atrophy. That's why you have shrinkage, right? So we want to use things like your pump, your jelking, your massage to help regenerate the tissue. Now, when they surveyed guys who've used their Vaxade consistently, so this is someone who's been using it for over 2 months, there was 64% improvement in premature ejaculation, 67% improvement in erectile quality, 78% improvement in overall sexual satisfaction. So I just don't pull this out every now and then for my health. This is because I really believe in it, and I really think that when you start to have issues, one of the big things that you need to do while you're working on the other things is really get a good quality pump. Okay? Now, the other part is you got to optimize testosterone. If your testosterone is in the 300s and the 400s and the 500s, I'm sorry, it's just not high enough. So you need to talk to your doctor about, okay, so we've gone through chemotherapy, you've treated me. Is it okay for me to start some testosterone treatment? You know, because we can boost it. We can do all the things that we talk about here to boost it. But every now and then, and particularly in Brad's case, he's going to need some testosterone supplementation because he's had chemotherapy. If you've had a major accident of some sort, you're probably going to need some testosterone because the testosterone can help you heal quicker. That's one thing. But testosterone helps the male body process, every piece of it, when it's optimized, every part of it runs better. Blood sugars decrease, healing improves, sleep improves, depression decreases, blood pressure goes down. So when you really think about testosterone optimization, and you go and you get your testosterone checked and they say, well, it's borderline, that's too low. Would they say, well, it's low, but I don't know, that's low. And then if you're speaking with your doctor and they don't really know much about testosterone supplementation, ask them to refer you to someone who does, because testosterone is that important. Now, in order to then decrease performance anxiety, so it's been years, you haven't been getting an erection, you've been showing up with your partner and you've been disappointed each time and you feel as though your partner is disappointed as well. This is why it's great to have a really supportive partner on board. Because one, I want to remind you that there's so many other things sexually that we could be doing other than worrying about whether or not you're stiff, right? Because if you can distract yourself and not worry about being stiff, that's when the magic can possibly happen. But if we go into it and we're worried about it and we're like, oh God, here we go. This is not going to work. Let's see. Did it work? No, it didn't. You know, that's just too much pressure on you and on him and on everybody else, even your partner. That's just too much. So we want to slide into the sexual situation in a way that where there's no pressure on you. So you can decrease performance anxiety with something called modified sensate focus. And to just be kind of brief about what that is for the first week or so, we're just going to connect intimately. We're going to touch each other, talk about what we like, remind each other about what sex used to be like, and just talk and have fun. We're maybe reading erotic novels. We're maybe watching adult movies. We're doing little things to just stimulate the mind, but we're not touching each other sexually, right? That's week one. Week two, we kind of slide through and we're like, okay, let's figure out where we like to be touched and what feels really good and what doesn't, because that changes over time, right? Those of you who've been with a lady partner for years probably noticed maybe at one point she really liked nipple play. Now she's like, oh, please stop that. I don't like that anymore. So we shift, we adapt. So modified sensate focus gives you time and energy to kind of re-get to know each other, right? Because your sensitive spots have changed too. Maybe you've never even mentioned that you like to have your earlobe nibbled on, right? This is perfect time to talk about that and to use this. Okay, now, so then the next thing is in that third week is now we can do a little bit of touching and feeling. So throughout that week, we can fondle each other. We can, you know, kiss and suck and lick, but we're not doing any form of penetrative sex, right? And you're directing them and your partner is directing you. So what this is doing is that by the time we get to week four, Now, Sensei Focus was something that came from Masters and Johnson, some of the first sexologists. Now we've modified it and changed it a little bit to fit modern day times. And by the time you get to that fourth week, the fourth week is all about, okay, now we can reintegrate sex into the situation if we feel like it. It's not necessary, but we can. And what I encourage gentlemen to do is remember that you're the alpha in the situation. For most of you, you're the one who's going to be taking control. And so if you've been in a passive sexual seat for years, now's the perfect time to take control of it, because what you want to do is you want to control her or his hand. You want to be able to say, nah, I'm not ready for you to touch me down there right now. I want to do you. You can control and be the maestro of the situation. Controlling the situation increases your confidence and makes it so that performance anxiety doesn't necessarily overwhelm you to the point where an erection might have, could have, should have showed up, but couldn't because we were too anxious to do it. Because anxiety kills the parasympathetic nervous system, and the parasympathetic nervous system is the nervous system that's responsible for you having an erection. Okay? I know that was a mouthful, but honestly, if you follow those concepts, whether it was a major accident, a major illness, chemotherapy, a stressful event, and you trace back to the roots, then support all of those different pathways, that's when you start to see success. So I do another podcast where I have honest conversations about every topic in men's health. And I mean every topic. Nothing is off limits. And it's called Live Free, Go Hard. I want to share with you a clip from a recent episode I did with Dr. Paul Perito. Potency is what people want, right? You know, it's what the guy wants. It's what his partner wants. And eventually over time, you know, I always do this thing with my hand where I'm like, 20s, your 30s, your 40s, your 50s, your 60s. And it's just kind of, you know, points in this direction of our hand as time goes by. Well, we're talking about potency and a penile implant. Tell us a little bit about this potency piece. So how does a guy end up feeling potency with an implant?
Right. So I heard one of your podcasts, and you're talking about the erectile tissue. And one of the things that we, you know, back in 2008, you know, published was sparing that tissue. And not, I'm sure you were in on at least a case or two. Yeah. And you would see these guys reaming out the erectile bodies with dilators or with all kinds of different instruments. And all you're doing is taking the, you know, some good tissue and, you know, destroying. The only thing we do is we measure, we let the implant get up there and then leave all that tissue in place. And there's nothing that makes me more happy than when, like, 2 weeks after a guy's had an implant, he's like, Paul, man, I'm getting hard-ons in the morning. I can almost, you know, put it in because, you know, the implant is giving it a little bit of stability, even though it's detumesced. And that tells you that those tissues are active. And it's important here for them because they're like, am I just a robot? No, you still get that rush. You still get that excitement. And then going back to your podcast, when you're done, you did something like, oh, wow, that was just the best. That's the result that also affects them here. Not only the orgasm, you know, just watching, you know, your partner just lay prostrate on the bed is an enormous, you know, psychological boost for these guys.
If you want to listen to the full episode of Live Free, Go Hard and take a deep dive into your stiffness success path, you can find out more and sign up at members.drrachel.com or head over to the App Store and download the Dr. Rachel app. You know, I have a really good question about the smoothie recipes. And this one comes from Michael. So Michael says, I'd like to take the opportunity to say thank you for your continued excellence, help, and commitment to men's erectile health. It is my pleasure, Michael, honestly. And I have recently purchased your E-Function smoothie recipes. Noticed you made reference to start with three, first of all. which I've done. So my question is, at what point do I move on to try the others? So great question, Michael. Michael, you start with your top three choices of smoothies, and you want to pick your smoothies that you want to start with based off of the names, right? If you want the Morning Vitality smoothie or the Morning Wood smoothie and the Dickup smoothies, then what you're doing is you're saying, okay, I want to increase my potential to get my D up. Then I want to increase my Morning Wood and so on and so forth. So the nutrients that are selected to go into the smoothies actually are reflective in the title of it. So that's what you want to do. You want to start with three. And then what you want to do is focus on those three for your first week. And then you want to start to integrate the other ones in and kind of rotate. I also made reference to the smoothie being something we should use to break our fast. Is it okay to have them twice or three times in one day? Or is it more of a supplement to start the day off correct whilst maintaining a balanced, healthy diet? So here's the thing. If you just pick one smoothie and have one smoothie three times a day, we're not balancing, right? We're not getting a nice balanced amount of nutrients, because remember, in real life, when you're choosing your vegetables and you're eating, I want you to eat the rainbow. So I want you to eat all the different colors that you possibly can. And your base color is always going to be green. You always want some green in there. Some of the smoothies really have more greens than others, right? And it doesn't give you, so like if you're having kale in all of your smoothies, then what are we doing? We're running the risk that you're getting too much kale, right? So that's another reason why some of the smoothies say spinach and or kale, spinach or kale or greens, right? Because what we learned last week is about kale being a goitrogen. So go back to my video from last week if you want to know more about that. But kale can potentially throw off your thyroid and cause some hormonal issues. So you don't want to overdo it with the kale. That's why you want to rotate your recipes. Now, being it that, can you have these two or three times a day? So what I want these smoothies to do is to be a meal replacement, right? So that's how they help you stay healthy. That's how they help you lose weight. That's all that. So if you're having three smoothies on top of three meals in a day, that's probably way more food than I would like for you to have. So it really does kind of depend though. And then the last question is, I've been adding organic hemp protein powder, organic cacao powder, organic baobab powder, and was wondering, is this the wrong thing to be doing? No, I love that. You know, adding protein powder that's plant-based kind of helps boost the protein. Protein helps keep us from being so hungry. The cacao is one of nature's strongest antioxidants. So what you're doing is you're adding a new level of antioxidants into it. Some of you are adding beetroot powder to it. Some of you are adding maca root powder to it. I think that all of these things are fantastic, but it's like anything else. I don't want you to get caught up. I like how you're rotating. I don't want you to get caught up adding a bunch of protein powder to every single one, because the more protein powder that you're adding, you actually should be monitoring your kidney function, depending. So all of these things, you should be having great conversations with your doctor, making sure that they're okay with it, making sure that you're not loading up on too much protein and now your kidney functions are all over the place. Everything in moderation. And that's why rotation should be everything in life, you know, whether it's sex, you know, you want to start sometimes, you want your partner to start it sometimes, whether it's food, you know, like you want to have water sometimes, but every now and then you might want to have some green tea, right? So rotating is just a healthy part of being a well-balanced individual. And it's a healthy way to consume the smoothies, right? And okay, Jose asks, what are my thoughts on the carnivore diet? Carnivore diet is a great name for a protein-based diet that's really focusing a lot on meat. Hey, having healthy, organic, grass-fed meat every now and then is perfectly fine, right? But the problem with having a bunch of meat all day, every day, is that it will increase your risk of having some of the colon cancers, but also, I feel that like when everybody's looking for the next meat source, they aren't getting the right amount of vegetables. So if you're going to be on a carnivore diet, I want you to become a bit of an herbivore too, and really focus on adding those leafy greens into the mix so that we have enough nitrates present to make nitric oxide so we can get an erection. And I also want you to make sure that you're adding the healthy fats in there. And I want you to stay hydrated because that meat can stop you up. You'd be on the toilet like, well, I lost some weight, but now I'm having some other issues, right? So if you're going to also focus on all that meat, then you want to, you know, make sure that you're on a really good probiotic because your digestive system is going to need some extra help. So I am not, you'll never see me push a diet that says just have a whole bunch of all of this, right? I take a more balanced approach to my patient's health and to my own health, recognizing that life, God probably did not design us to cut any one thing out totally. You know, I'll always say everything can be useful and fantastic in moderation. Okay, I'm a female disabled veteran. I take 8 to 10 meds every day. T-Mix, thank you for your service. Thank you for all you do. The meds don't help my non-existing sex life. Do you have any tips? Thank you for all you do. Oh, I love it. I finally get to talk about ladies a little bit here. Okay, so now, T-Mix, really quickly, one thing that you have to do as a lady is we realize, you know, as we're talking about with gents, if we don't use it, we will lose it. And so the less activity she gets down there, then the less likely she is to be active when we want her to be. So first thing I always tell ladies to do, and of course talk to your doctor about this, is to really get a nice vibrating suction device. Right? There's one called the Womanizer, for instance. Then they have a great generics. You know, you can probably find one for anywhere from $30 on up. And what it actually does is you put a little bit of lubricant on the tip of it, and you're actually going to put it on the clitoral fibers, and you're actually going to, it's going to vibrate and it's going to have a pulsing, sucking motion, right? And so what that's doing is it's providing artificial stimulation. It's helping blood flow to the clitoral area and helping blood flow start to come back to an area that really hadn't been getting any. So that's one thing. Another thing is taking your medication on a schedule that leaves some time for sexual activity. That's another thing. So the other thing you want to do is make sure that your hormones are as balanced as they can be. Make sure your doctor checks your estradiol. Women need testosterone to have a healthy sex drive, so check that too. And then also check your thyroid. Make sure that your thyroid is intact and optimized. Okay, so then the next piece is we want the pH in the vagina to be a little acidic. Yeah, you know, we talk about alkaline water, this and that. Well, the vagina is a little different. We want it to be acidic because we want the good bacteria that's down there to be able to create moisture, be able to soften the area for elastic tissues to be there so it can be stretchy and juicy like we want it to be, right? So in order to keep it acidic is every now and then a little apple cider vinegar in the bath water, kind of sit in it, and it adds a little bit of acidification, or it acidifies the area so that the pH is a little lower, so that now when you take your probiotics, now we've got good bacteria down there that can help with dryness, that can help with that little smell that gets down there, the fishy smell that can come in when it is a little dry, and it helps with lubrication. All right, so we got to talk about hormones. You got to talk about your diet, cutting back on sugar a little bit, cutting back on the flour and the processed foods. You know, the same nutrients that I talk about for gentlemen are fantastic for ladies because it's all about improving blood flow and improving our body's ability to, you know, have the blood flow to the genital areas if and when we want it to. All right, so I hope that helps. Thanks for tuning in and, you know, thanks for your questions there.
For listening to Gimme an E. Please subscribe so that you can get new episodes as soon as they're released. And take a moment to leave a 5-star review. Also, make sure that you subscribe to my email list so that you can get men's health-related topics delivered discreetly to your email, get discounts from the Dr. Ray.